and you as a casual visitor would not be able to tell us which was which. Now, I don't know of anywhere else in the world where you can't pick out people in end-stage dementia, but you cannot pick them out at birth. So something's going on, and as Rachel said, she thought it was either snake or wacky and weird or whatever. It isn't, but you do have to understand the approach, the understanding of the experience of the person with dementia, and therefore you begin to see then what you need to do about it. So then we have a speckle method, which is what you do about it when you've understood what's going on. And then there's a system, because you can have a wonderful method for caring for somebody, but if you're the only person who does it, then every time they meet somebody else, there's a problem. So there's a whole system being developed as well to ensure that once that individualised care has been produced, then it can be sustained by other people. And the charitable aim of the Contented Dementia Trust is, again, very simple but pretty extraordinary. It's to promote lifelong well-being for people with dementia, however long the person lives, to sustain well-being. I don't know if any, I'm longing to hear somewhere else in the world where they can do it, because then I think I could at long last retire. But until I hear that, I'm keeping going, because we do seem to be the only people who have cracked managing 24 hours a day, every day, for life, however long the person lives. It is possible to have well-being. How can that be? It all depends on your understanding of this, which is a metaphor. And the wonderful thing about talking in this sort of auspicious company is that I know when I say metaphor, you're all going to be able to take a leap of imagination. And you're going to come right with me when I say that I'm going to take my memory out of my head and hold it in my hand, or rather have it in front of me, because it is going to be, first of all, an analogy. I'm going to say it's like having a photograph album. Everybody has a memory. Everybody has something like a photograph album. And then comes the leap. I'm going to actually go into metaphor and say it is a photograph album. Every single person, when they're born, is given a photograph album, I'm going to say. We're going to leave all the normal vocabulary behind. Some of the scientific stuff, like short-term memory, long-term memory, absolutely useless when it comes to understanding what's happening to the person with dementia. Remembering and forgetting, Rachel said, you know, we have departed from quite a bit. Remembering and forgetting are common sense words which we use with people who don't have this particular problem with their memory, this change. If I say to you, oh, crikey, I've forgotten to put a parking ticket on my car, I don't mean that at all. I mean, I have just remembered that I have forgotten to remember to put a parking ticket on. Well, it's so complicated. We want a very, very simple set of vocabulary. No apologies for simplicity. So, we have a new word now for memory. It's called a photograph album. And every single person from... Let me just work out these. Yes? Every single person from birth upwards, everything that happens to us, everything that we see, hear, touch, feel, do, immediately, a split second later, a photograph is taken and stored in our album. Now, if we were a smaller group, I would be working from sitting here in a cozy little circle and showing you this. So this isn't boring lecture, it's just that you wouldn't be able to see this. And so we're looking at overheads, but they're all in here, and I will be using this a bit later. So everything that we see here, touch, feel, or do, split second later, photograph in our album. It arrives with absolutely no effort from us whatsoever. It's just the taking and the storing of photographs is unconscious, going on in the background of our lives. We're far too busy getting on with the next moment in our lives to be stopping taking photographs and sticking them in albums. We're just moving on, and these photographs are arriving in one after another in quick succession, reflecting what I have just been doing. Each photograph has two distinct characteristics. It has a central portion, which is represented by these dots, which are the facts of what's just occurred a split second before, and the framework around the outside, the associated feelings. So as time goes by, I acquire page after page after page of these photographs in my album. The album falls open quite naturally on today's page, because that is, A, where the latest photographs are flying in, But it's also the page that I simply have to consult all the time if I'm to be discovering what I'm doing, who with, where, and why. If I was just standing here with no ability to look at my photograph album and check it out, how on earth would I know who you all are? You know, Cafe Scientifique would not be featuring at all. I wouldn't know. Every time we go, let me think, it means let me look in my album. For information about what's just been happening. I must have that to understand my present moment. We do it so quickly, so automatically, that we take it for granted. We think we just know things. We don't. We have to find them in the album. It's open on today's page, but of course, by definition, we have got all the old pages. They don't fall out. They're all there, and our album just gets bigger and bigger. We can turn back. Two pages from long ago or longer ago or very long ago, but we very, very rarely do compared with the amount of time that we are referencing today's page. And the album comes very quickly back to today's page after we've gone delving back, because this is where everything is happening in the here and now, and that is where we live in the here and now. Small pause. Everybody all right? I know you're never meant to ask that. Does everybody understand? Yeah, first thing I was ever told, never ask that. But I'll take silence as okay. So what happens as we age? None of us are immune from that. There is no change whatsoever in terms of process. The taking and the storing of photographs carries on absolutely as usual. Everything that I have experienced will be there in my album, facts and feelings, but there is a change in the speed at which I reference the photographs. I am slowing up, and if you were coming to Burford, we would be spending probably 2 hours talking about this, and you'd hear an awful lot about within the metaphor. You'd hear a lot about arthritic fingers, you know, to make it more graphic about how difficult it is to turn the pages or that sort of thing. But we're slowing in retrieval, but there is no process to change whatsoever in terms of storage. It continues to be unconscious and continuous. Of course, I may take so long to find something. Let me think. Let me have a look. Just stay with the metaphor for a moment, you know, within it. If somebody says something and I actually don't see quite as well as I did, I'm going to have to do a bit of this before I can actually check out. And it's going to take me a split second longer than it used to. And then somebody says something further back and I don't hear quite so well. So I'm going, what? Hang on. Yes, and I'm doing my referencing, and then somebody else speaks from over here, and I haven't actually caught up with before, and I'm all over the place. And, you know, the vocabulary builds up around you as you get older. Oh, dear, and it's very regional, this. I don't know what the Oxford word would be, but, you know, Dottie losing her marbles. I mean, it's a huge vocabulary about how I might be described. Actually, I'm not any of those things. I'm just getting older and slower, and it's getting me into quite a few pickles. But it has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with dementia. So, if we're going to stay with this idea of the photograph album, what exactly is dementia? Dementia is about a new type of photograph that starts appearing in the album. There it is, you can see it, that's our working definition of dementia for the purposes of managing it. That's all we're looking at, is once diagnosed, how are we going to understand it? It's best understood as a new type of photograph coming in the album where the facts of what's just happened a split second before are not stored, but the feelings associated with the missing facts are stored, and they're there in the album in that photograph, but there is so much space for them because they haven't got to jostle now with the facts that they suffuse the whole space which would normally be shared with the facts. So there we have our working definition of dementia. A fact-free, feelings-only, dementia-related photograph that we're calling a blank. And we know that once that new type of photograph has entered the album, it will randomly, intermittently, and increasingly frequently reoccur. And gradually, over time, instead of it just being just a fraction of a second of lost factual information, these blanks are going to occur more frequently and gradually come in sequentially, very randomly, but gradually increasingly sequentially. And we're going to get what we call ribbons of these blanks, which are now representing quite a block of lost factual information. And if I go on living long enough, if this were my album of a person with dementia, the process just goes on. You only got to get your head around this one change. It's just a repetition of it. But now we're seeing in the sort of end stages of dementia, we're seeing never a completely blank page with no facts in it, because always, sooner or later, to the end of their life, the person with dementia will store an odd, random, normal facts and feeling photograph. But by now it's getting surrounded by a sea of blanks. Divided into three stages when it first begins. This isn't a lecture, so I'm going to speed on. I want to tell you the story, really. I've got some more to tell you. This is the second stage, when you can see that the ratio of blanks to normal is beginning to shift in favor of blanks. And then the end stage dementia, end stage blanking. Certainly not end stage life. You can live an awful long time with a photograph album in front of you looking like that on today's page, which you need to be going, oh, let me think, let me reference, surrounded by an awful lot of people around you who've got an album as on the left. Hardly surprising that we need to change our communication system. If we're communicating with today's page, that is going to be recorded like that. And we certainly do need to change our communication system, and I'll come to that right at the end, just before we get discussing. I'm hoping these are going to be in a good order. I think they are. Feelings become very much more important than facts, obviously, as dementia goes on, for the person with dementia. Their database that they're running on to give themselves orientation in the present moment is largely feelings and not facts. They've got all their old photographs, they've got all their old pages from pre-dementia, but we don't go there very much. We're too busy with the here and now. We're not used to going miles back to look for stuff. So feelings become more important than facts, and feelings, if you note, store for everybody. This is common ground. If you haven't got dementia, you store feelings. If you have got dementia, you store feelings. So we need to look much more closely at feelings for everyone and understand those a bit more. Now, very simple, we've divided them into two. Feelings are either okay, acceptable, or they are not okay, unacceptable, and we've gone into colour. So the okay, acceptable are going to be green. And the not okay, unacceptable, which we'll go looking for in a minute, will be red. And we're making an assumption for the vast majority of us, the vast majority of our feelings in life are green. Now, it's very difficult to write this, but it's easier to say it. They are okay. That's our bottom line of green. American author Torrio had a good quotation, which I never get quite right, but it's something along the lines of, most men live lives of quiet desperation. That sets our norm quite well, really. We're all jogging along. So that's our, we might have lifts, but generally that is our assessment of green. So for everybody, albums are generally speaking running on green, but for every single one of us, somewhere in our album, every so often, incredibly rare but definitely there, will be a random red. By red, we do not mean being given a cup of tea with sugar in when you don't take sugar. We're talking about the sort of stuff you see on post-traumatic stress disorder triggers. Real trauma, red. Example, the day the dog got, the favourite dog got run over in the road outside the house. Ah! Red. You have to do something when red enters the album. A very powerful mechanism comes into play to drive you forward to do something. By definition, this is unacceptable. In this example, following along, deciding how to tell the children when they came home from school, burying the dog, not great at all, but qualitatively completely different from that moment of red. And in the taking of this action, in responding to that driving mechanism, green, the norm of green, returns to the album, and life goes on green. However, that red will always be there. Now, having established that we're on green in life, having established that every time we go, let me think, it means let me look in my album, it follows that the search mechanism that we're doing all the time for information to give ourselves the context and so on, is a green activity. Now, as we go about our searching on that green activity, it's possible, it's not very likely, but it is just possible that we might come across one of those very rare reds. If we do, and this is without dementia, please note this is a non-dementia page in an album, without dementia, we are very unlikely indeed to find the red and go, oh, no, I must concentrate on that. We don't do that. It's not that we deny it, sir. We can see it, sir. But we're on our way on a green search for green information, and we will go round it. And in due course, very quickly, the album will come back onto today's page on green, and our life will go on green. It is that handling of reds and their significance which really alters so much for a person with dementia once we put the colour into a dementing album. And that's what I want to do just for a moment or two. And it's the purpose of this high stool here that I'm going to clamber on. I'm terribly grateful for the high stool because not very long ago I was given a table and they insisted on putting a chair on top of it. And they gave me some steps, you know, and I mounted up the top thinking, you know, I'm near my 70th birthday, but never mind. And up I go onto the top. And one of the evaluation forms, which actually haven't been mentioned yet, but hoping you will fill those in as well, in exchange for leaflet, evaluation form to me, leaflet to you. When I got the evaluation forms in, they were meaningless, which was so sad, because about 80% of them, when they were asked, you know, what they would change or what they thought, they said, we were so worried you were going to fall off, but I'm afraid we didn't hear a word. So I'm very grateful for the safe stool. I'm going to give you the very quickest, and it will be quick, but if ever you want to learn any more and at less of an express train speed, please come to Burford. I've got two more bits to give you before we can, and I don't know how the time is. How is the time? Are we all right for time? Okay. I just want to give you an absolute, very, very microcosm vignette of a day in the life of Dolly with dementia at home, just a tiny little incident, so that you can get some insight into what actually is going on. Now, the first one I'm going to give you, Dolly, is in the sort of middle stage of dementia, which interestingly is where virtually everybody is by the time they're diagnosed. Lots to say about that, but take it from me that most people at diagnosis are about 50-50 between these two types of photographs. She's still living at home and she's still with her husband. And we'll take an event at breakfast, which if you go, I'm not very scientific here, second row down, 1, 2, 3, 4, there's a ribbon on the second row of blanks. That represents a conversation that Dolly and her husband were having at the breakfast table, chatting about what they were going to do. All of a sudden, Dolly's husband says to her, oh, and by the way, will you post a letter? It was interesting that actually Dolly's husband had only just got to the dizzy heights of having a secretary before he retired, and Dolly found after retirement that wives make lousy secretaries, and she was absolutely, as you know, of course I'll post the letter, she said. But unbeknown to her, that little conversation they had was stored unconsciously. It's unobserved by her at the time of storage, it's unobservable by him at the time of storage. That went in as a series of blanks. So no facts there for Dolly. Fast track forward, which we will do, and we'll join them in the evening. So the dementing event, you can see, is at breakfast, the blanks at breakfast. We're going to fast track forward and to the evening at supper, when actually there is a hideous thing that happens for Dolly, perfectly, perfectly ghastly. It stores as a normal photograph, because she still is storing quite a lot. 50% of her photographs are normal. And that one happens to store as a normal red. And she handles it in the same way as anybody else that I've described. However, there's worse to come, much worse, because when we fast-track forward, and I will wrap Pashmina very rapidly around me, so you know that I've gone over several years, and I have now arrived, as Dolly, in Happy Land's care home, where actually I'm in the end stages of blanking, and practically everything is getting recorded as a blank. And again, we take a dementing event. It's benign at the time. It's unobserved. It's unobservable, all that. But something happens during the day. Now, that something will be Dolly's birthday and a visit by her children. But then we join later on, and we have a bit of a monologue to see what's happening. And something absolutely hideous happens for Dolly again, and this time it's a red blank. Now, she's got no facts. It's unobserved, unobservable at the time of storage, fine. But what happens a bit later on? When Dolly catches sight of that red, and she knows you have to do something. She hasn't lost her reason. She knows she must. But what? And as she contemplates it as to what, we're going to see an escalation of this, which is something none of us know about. We've never come across it. We don't have to put up with it. And we want to see what that does for Dolly. And then, before everybody runs away for the last bit of nibbles and wine, thinking, thank you, thank you, we knew it was terrible, and we now know it's much worse than we thought, I want to give you the good news and the start of this ascent to well-being that we can bring in, because we know how to work positively, not fighting this, but working positively with it as a disability. So Rachel told me beforehand that if you can't hear what I say, she's going to just hold this in front of me. because I did say I'm not going to be very good at Dolly with dementia and what I need and this. I haven't got enough hands, so we'll see. Thank you. So what is it like to be me? I have a hat. Do you know I never used to? And then one day at Burford, just as I'd said at the beginning, please don't interrupt unless there's something you don't understand. And what do you think? Right in the middle of my monologue, a weave. So I go sort of, yes. And this voice said, excuse me, have you got dementia? It was a long time ago, before, you know, people with dementia had sort of come forward, really. It was in the 90s. You know, deep in my monologue, I mean, she obviously got the impression I had. She rose to her feet. She was about 6 foot tall, very set dressed, and announced she'd have to go because she thought she was coming to learn something, and all she was being. So I was off the next morning, and I bought at the charity shop one of these, and it's not been in the wash or anything else since. But every time I'm Dolly, it goes on my head, and if it comes off, please, I have something to say. And when I've got it on, I am Dolly. Quite important, I think, to be able to spot the difference. Photograph, as I said, you know, it's done, if I was doing this informally, you'd find that it was exactly the slides that I've given you. And in here, I have got an exaggeration of the two slides. The first one here is at home, and the next one here, but making the point that I'm hardly storing anything here. So that's what I've got in front of me. Mine is Pashmina until the second little bit. Very abbreviated, this is on what you would get at Burford and in a bit of an express train mode. But we are at supper, my husband and I. Oh, yes. How interesting. Did you really? Gosh, yes. And then what happened? Yes. Yeah. Huh? And what? Did I post a letter? I do what I always do when I'm asked a question. Go to my album for information. Letter. No, I didn't post a letter. Why not? Another question. Why not? Back to the album. Why not? However, am I going to tell him this? I didn't post a letter because there wasn't a letter to post. What? What do you mean? There was. I'm telling you. I am telling you now that there wasn't. And what's he doing now? He's gone bright red and he's left the room and he's coming back in. He's waving my handbag like a complete lunatic. And I say, can you sit down? You're going to have a stress-induced stroke. And could you pass? Why, you look ridiculous with my handbag. Pass it over here. And no, I'm not having you looking in my handbag. If anyone's going to look in my handbag, I will. And actually, I'm going to show you. I'm not going to look where you want me to look. I'm going to show you. No, we'll do this properly. I'm going to show you every single compartment. I know it's got a lot of zips. I know. And I'm going to open every single one. One by one, however long it takes. And I'm going to show you them. My heart is pounding and my ears are buzzing and I'm thinking, how can this possibly be? My album has never let me down. Well, not like this. And just then, he's talking and... hideous thought has just struck me. This morning, without my knowing, how many other times has it happened, and how would I possibly know? That thought knocks the day the dog got run over into a cock hat. This is a what happens next? I wake up in the morning and I think whatever's the matter with me. I feel sick. I do what I always do when I need information about anything. And I go to my album and I have a look back and I go, that is red. I knew something hideous has happened. Hang on. What on earth is it? No wonder I feel sick. What is it? Oh no. Oh my God. Oh. It's that letter. It's that moment at supper last night. That moment when I was given incontrovertible evidence that something was in his album that involved me, and it wasn't in mine. What have I done with it? I've done something with it. I'm going to look for it. Yeah, now I must put that out, and I must work out what I am going to do about that letter. I do wish my children came to see me more often. What? When? No, not my children, no. Huh? No, I just wish my children came to see me more often. Look, instead of telling me about that, why don't you go and find a lot of people here? All sitting around. I should go and find whose children. Not mine. I just wish my children came to see me often. Who was? A birthday. How lovely. Whose birthday? What? My birthday? Well, when? Today? Don't be ridiculous. No, if it was my birthday. What did you say? I've been doing what? I know it's my handbag. I know I like my handbag. I've been doing what? And shutting what? My handbag all afternoon and taking out bright colours and envelopes. No, I don't want you to show me. Oh, she's going to, I can tell. She wants to show me so nicely that she knows exactly where I'm going to find a scrumpled up, brightly coloured envelope. And how does she know everything about me? And I don't. Oh no. Oh no. I
What happens next? I feel terrible. What is it? I have no idea. But I'll have to have a look. Oh, it's red. Oh, I must do something. I must do something. Something hideous has happened. There's nothing here to tell me. Oh, I can't do this. I can't live with this. I haven't lost my reason. I've only lost my facts. I've lost my information I need, and I'm going to do the only reasonable thing I can. I'm going to go back to find something, Summer. Please, can I find something? I'm not... Oh, thank goodness, that red. Oh, no. Oh, no, the dog. Oh, and the children. Oh, I must go. No, I must go. Oh, very kind and terribly firm hand on my arm and a voice going, "It's all right, Dolly. Tea trolley will be around in a minute and you can have a nice go." It's nothing to do with your tea. It's just that I've got to. See, I've absolutely got to. I'm not getting anywhere. And every time I look down my arm, I just lose. I'm going to do the only thing I can. I'm going to try shutting the album. I'd rather look at the black of the outside cover than I would risk opening up, catching sight of that insupportable scene. I'm just going to sit here. And I'm not going to. It's got everything about me. And it's mine. And I'm going to hold on to it. And I'm not going to open it for anyone. I'm just going to concentrate. I'm holding it tightly shut. And that's all I'm going to think about. Forever and ever. It's the only safe place to be.
Good news, very quickly. That is what we think, that up and down the country, care homes are full of these people. They've closed their album, but they haven't lost their reason, and they haven't lost their old information, but they're not using old information, and none of us around them are either. We're all using today's. So, what do we do about that? Well, three golden rules start to leap in straight away. We're going to have to find a new way of communicating. And now I'm thinking even black and white. Don't worry about the colour at the moment. It'll probably come up later in the conversation. Even if I'd not gone into colour at all and told you the hideousness, if we just had that one slide that said, this is what a normal album looks like in black and white and this is what a dementia does, we need some new rules of engagement. Counterintuitive, they may be. The first one is don't ask direct questions. Now, you need the photograph album to explain why not. What do any of us without dementia, when we're asked a question, we go, let me think, it's lying open on today's page, our album, and we have a look. But what's going to happen when it's lying open on a dementia page for somebody? They're going to be thrown. So don't ask direct questions. The facts may not have been stored. You're going to lead into trouble. People think that's almost impossible, not least, I might say, the medical profession, who think that, you know, you're going to take away dignity and choice if you don't ask questions. We run a workshop, The Questionless Question. Absolutely fascinating. You can find out the most amazing amount from the other person. You want to try it. Don't go and find a person with dementia. Just try it with a neighbour sometime. Don't let them see that's what you're doing. But just have 5 minutes of conversation and cut out questions. It's difficult to start with. It gets easier and easier. And you'll find that there are many, many ways of doing it. So that's the first goal. And if you did nothing else when you meet a person with dementia, if you avoided asking questions, you would make a huge difference to that person's peace of mind and life, and you'd get a lot more from them. Very, very basic, these are. Learn from the expert. Who's the expert? Do you know? It's the person with dementia. And the thing they're expert at is handling this sort of album. We're not. We don't have one. They do. And they get absolutely brilliant at going back and finding matches in old pages and using them as a replacement for the missing facts of today. We've got to listen and we've got to learn from them. Amazing example, which I give you later in conversation, of how I learned all this originally from my mother and then heard it over and over again from many hundreds of people, probably as thousands now, at Burford over the years. So we must listen to their questions, because what happens when we ask a question? We only ask a question, any of us. If we don't have information, which is important to us at the time, and we need to ask somebody else because we can't find it in our own album at the moment. So they're no different. They're articulating what's important to them, and they haven't got. So don't go, oh, no, not again. Listen to the questions. They're highly significant in telling us what's important to them at that moment. So none from us, listen to theirs. And third one, don't contradict. Now then, in album terms, that means don't argue about whose album we're going to be talking about, yours or theirs. Start with where they're at in their album. Don't argue, too, about trying to correct the page they're on. You know, no, not that page, not like mine, but it's not like yours. And don't argue about which particular photograph they found that's useful. Listen to them and start where they're at. And don't contradict. And not contradicting doesn't mean you have to completely prostitute yourself. I mean, if somebody says to me, that wall is black, I don't actually have to go, well, now come to think of it, you're absolutely right. It is black. I'm not going to sound authentic. I'm not going to look it. To me, it's white. But if I just go, uh-huh, I haven't contradicted. And I haven't signed up, either, to it being black. I just haven't argued with the sense they're making of whatever they're saying at that moment. So those are the three very, very straightforward starter 410. I'd just like to leave you with one thought about the colour. To be in green, as we would say, towards the end of dementia, to be in green and not know why, because you've got no facts there in your green photographs, is not too bad. To be in red is unforgivable of us once we understand. To land the person in red. What are they going to do? They are going to go back to old trauma, matching red in the present with no facts, to old trauma from a long time ago and reliving it. We must not do it. And the good news is that if you follow these three golden rules, you won't have them in red in the present, and therefore they'll have no reason to go searching for red in the past. But without these golden rules, they're doing it all the time. And that is the explanation in our book for challenging behaviour and all the other sort of things you'll see. They are matching red in the present, brought about by this common sense communication with them. And they are bound to have to go and find old trauma to match and live. So from that, that knowledge base, we have constructed a whole method and a system. And all I can say is, it works.